Well, I still have a poster from when the bus trip came through Atlanta and stopped at Emory, when I was at Emory.
Okay.
Come here, Stephen, talk.
Oh, yeah. I think he spoke at the Strip, actually. That was like...
Yeah.
And that was 1970, because... So Kathy and I, we got there, and then we started going to Monday night class and saying, okay, there, here's somebody, because we're also sitting at the Zen Center, and we're chanting with these other Buddhists, and then A.C. Bhaktivedanta, he was... You know, the Krishnas were going crazy, and then this guy, Sufi Sam, he danced.
Right.
I forgot his last name, Lewis, maybe. He was famous. So we do all these things, but Stephen's thing was, here was a white guy who was incorporating Buddhism with taking acid, and that's why we were mixed up. I said, and I was like, God, this guy is like, thank you.
It's a family.
Because she's starting to think, you know, you're never going to find, you know, what you...
You know, you're talking about this thing of fate throwing you in the sort of the onrushing path of famous people, you know, in some way or another. You're all of a sudden you find yourself in the midst of people who may not be famous at the moment, but will become famous and
right.
That sort of thing. That's the Forrest Gump effect, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
and my life's been like that. And you're talking about the Zen Center. When I was a rich dope dealer in the 70s, I guess it was. In the 70s. My wife was a sitter. She's a Zen. And we would take vacations at Tassajara. And I didn't give a flying fuck about that. I'm not political particularly, and I'm not spiritual either particularly. I've always hung out with people who were, both of those things. But... So what I would do, while she was in the Zendo crying, you know, and doing her thing, you know, whatever it was that she did, I would hang out in the coffee area. There's this little place, some kind of Spanish-style hot springs resort up in the mountains.
And, yeah, and it was the hot springs, thing. Yeah, Tassajara, yeah. That's where it's
Tassajara, started. Tassajara, yeah. Anyway, and there was it was all kind of dobe and that kind of thing, and it had a grape arbor over the top of this walled-in area where you could smoke cigarettes and drink coffee. You know, that...
The Los Padres National Forest.
Yeah, it was just... There it was. It was lovely. And we had a great time, and I've always enjoyed myself there. But I would go there, and I'd drink coffee in the morning and smoke cigarettes and talk to whoever was around, and there was this guy in there who was a very interesting guy. He was a Southerner. He was from South Alabama, and he was unusual in that he had a shaved head. And we got to be great friends. We'd talk and have a good old time and tell stories, just like kind of like what we're doing now. And finally, he left. Phil was his name. And he left, and some woman came over and sat down beside me and said, "What are you and the Abbot talking about?"
The Abbot.
It was Philip Whalen.
Oh, wow.
And I go, "That guy's the Abbot? Phil?" You know, it was like, I couldn't believe it. We were homing, you know. It was wonderful. What a great guy, you know.
Yeah.
And I had no idea at that moment or, you know.
And he goes back to Ginsberg and Castaneda.
Oh, God, yeah. You know. And another person there at Taj Mahal, we jammed together there. I had no idea who he was.
Yeah.
Just a really good guitar player and singer, you know. We just played. And the same for, what was I doing? Oh, I came from Atlanta to get LSD. In San Francisco, the one time the connection was, we met at, what's that guy's name? He plays with Grant. His name's Tom Grant, I think.
Oh, Gray.
Gray? Is that it? Yeah, it could be. A guitar player.
Delta Moon.
No. This is way back. This is a long, long time ago. He played with Jorma Kalkonen and those guys.
Oh, okay.
Played acoustic guitar with them. Tom Grant, I think.
Grisman?
No, not Grisman. But this guy. At any rate, I went to this apartment to sit to wait for the LSD to show up. And it was a little tiny room like this with very tall ceilings. And it was completely covered in guitars everywhere. And I was a guitar player. I asked if I could play a guitar. And we played several guitars. And then we started jamming. And it was this guy who was like all really tightened up into the acoustic guitar scene there in San Francisco, and I never, you know, I didn't know who the fuck he was, you know, it was like that. I sold the Allman Brothers heroin here in Atlanta.
Oh, who didn't? No.
Yeah, right.
When I had the store, there's some Allman Brothers shows, and old farts our age would come in, and I'd go, "What's your Allman Brothers story?" And inevitably, they were puking in the garage, you know, puking in the backyard. There was a pattern that developed there.
Oh, yeah, they were serious about
Here's my Allman Brothers story. It's like, it's 1969, in Piedmont Park, Sunday afternoon, Dwayne, like, taking this bottle, just an old bottle.
Broke it
for a slide.
Dwayne. I know. The man himself.
Man, he was like a kid, you know, it's like five school years. Skin and bones teenager, but, you know.
Like Derek Trucks was when he got his, yes, when he got started.
Oh, he was so funny. When he was small, I saw him jam with Buddy Guy one time.
Derek Trucks?
Yeah, and he's like, he's going, damn, damn, damn. Derek Trucks like, damn, damn, damn. He's like,
Little bitty kid.
Oh, and he's blowing Buddy Guy's mind.
You know how you go,
and then the other guy goes, and Derek goes, do 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 do, and he went, ooh. Buddy Guy started going like this, you know.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Too hot.
Because he would hand him something, you know. But,
oh, sure.
You know,
call and response, thing. It's called.
Yeah. And,
whoa. Hell yeah.
And Derek talks, you know, he would go, he would just put something on it.
Imagine if Dwayne had grown up having contact with those musicians.
Yeah.
He was something.
Guy. And where that was happening, I'll tell you, where that was happening, that exact scene I'm describing is under where the Federal Reserve Building is now. Yeah. 10th and Peachtree.
Right, right.
The very first Music Midtown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or maybe the second one. Anyway, it was right there.
Yeah.
It was where the Federal Reserve is right now.
Right, right, right. Where the old drugstore used to be.
Where the old drugstore. Plus, it went all the way back.
It totally slipped my mind that was used to be the original site of Music Midtown, and I went to all
that. And I'm just going, God, they're right on this site. They're right on, over there, it was like archaeology. They were on top of Weekends. They were on top of the Roxy Deli. They were on top of, you know, various head shops. It was still the same space, but something was off.